Alrighty, let's open our Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 6. We're going to look at a couple scriptures today. Lord dropped on my heart the message on the importance of faith. You know, faith is something that we all have. God has given us each a measure. But it's what we do with our faith and the process of being able to grow in our faith that's important. I don't know about you, but I used to think about this sometimes. I don't so much anymore. But have you ever wondered what your faith level is? You know what I mean? On a meter or something? You know, maybe your faith level you feel is half full, or maybe you feel your faith level is half empty. Those are both the same measurement. But it all depends on which way you're heading. Are we growing in our faith? Are we diminishing in our faith? You know, we need to understand, you know, that as we live this life, you know, the battle sometimes takes its toll on our faith. And some of you have went through a lot of major battles. And it can take its toll over a process of time. But we need to stay built up so that we can walk in that victory. And, you know, basically we just need to remember that our faith needs to grow. And we're going to look together in God's Word, just how we can help our faith to grow and become more pleasing to God. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction today, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing to be able to break every yoke of bondage. Lord, we pray that Your anointing is here, just being able to reveal, bring revelation knowledge to each of our hearts. Lord, I thank You that we are seekers here today. We want to grow. We want more. We're not heading backwards, but we're heading forwards from victory to victory, Lord. Lord, I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So this scripture here is a revealing scripture in the sense of what we can expect somewhat in our relationship with God and how important it is. I don't know about you, but I like being rewarded. You know, many of you, that's why you go to work, because you're rewarded, right? You're rewarded because when you do something, they give you something back. And it's a part of giving and receiving. And that's kind of the relationship that you and I have with God. Now, there is a reward for being a seeker of God. Now, being a seeker of God is just more than just showing up and doing things. It's more of a heartfelt issue. It's something that drives us and pushes us and makes us go a little bit farther down the road in our relationship with God, is the idea of being a seeker and what it means to go after God. Now, some people believe there's no benefit of going to church, and there's no benefit for seeking God. There's a lot of people around, you know, the world like that, even mostly in our country and even in our community, that has this kind of mindset. You know, maybe they got touched once and they've fallen back, whatever the case may be. But the thing is, if they believe there's no reward, they are wrong. Matter of fact, they might even be dead wrong. And they might even be separated from God wrong. So it's important that we get our thinking right in our approach to wanting to go after God. And seeking should never stop after we find Him. Now, we all know that God wasn't the one lost, right?
Right.
We were the one lost, but somehow we think we found God. And that's all good. It's just the semantics, how we look at it. But a lot of times when we find God, we might get a little touch every now and then, but then all of a sudden, after a process of time, we kind of lose our way. But I think that we need to keep going after Him even more intensely after we've found Him, after He's part of our life. It's not just something that we conquer and find and then we move on to the next thing. Now, as a kid, I used to coon hunt. And I used to, you know, you turn the dog loose and you're not sure if the coons are there or not. And you're out there and your dog's out hunting. He's kind of piddling around, or she is, and, you know, running through the corn rows or off through the timber and, you know, just kind of sniffing around, just kind of checking. But I tell you what, when that old dog smells a track, everybody knows. All it'll start ball mouth, or, you know, I like to ball mouth and chop tree, you know, where the coon would ball, or the dog would ball when it's tracking, and then when it hit the tree, it'd start just barking, bark, 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 like that. Then you knew the difference in the two things. And see, when we're fired up and hot after God, it should be noticeable that when we're seeking after Him, when we know we're going to get that reward. Now, seeking after God, it also has an effect on our future. Now, most people are victimized by their past because it's true. We always have that saying, history repeats itself. And as we observe life, as you get older, you can sort of see the cycle. You know, we can see the cycle in our own lives. Maybe we see the cycle in somebody that we're trying to help. You know, a lot of times when we try to help people, usually people are trying to run from their problems. And so when they're doing all good until some attack happens, and then when that attack happens, they just bolt. They just run instead of standing the ground and dealing with it and drawing that line in the sand and fighting. But if they understood, once they do that, they'll start to walk in victory. To me, it's like a NASCAR race. Now, I'm not big on NASCAR. That's why I'm picking on it. You know, NASCAR, I never did understand circles, driving in a circle, man. You're going nowhere. Now, I was raised, you know, in the 70s, and then back then there was a gasoline shortage. To me, the stupidest thing was, why are they still racing those cars if there's people standing in line for gas? I couldn't understand that as a kid. There's a gas shortage, for crying out loud. I didn't understand the concept of all the advertising and all the money that's being made off NASCAR. I mean, as a kid, you didn't think about them things. But I thought it was silly, driving in a circle. Just you know, and going nowhere. And that's really how it is sometimes in our life when we allow history to repeat itself. Somehow we got to step out of that cycle and try to break through because, you know, when we seek God, to me, it takes us to new territory. You know, I like seeing new things sometimes. I like seeing the old stuff too. You know, we take the same way home a lot of times, right? You get kind of in a rut like that. We're just used to that old same thing. But, you know, that new territory is really exciting to be able to see and experience new things. It's a little scary sometimes because that uncharted territory is out there. And really, that's what it is when we're in this process of living by faith and walking by faith and it perfects our faith walk. That idea of trusting God, starting to lean on Him and starting to understand that God is real and that God really cares what's going on in our life. And that we can bring Him into our life and that He can help us navigate through all those things. You know, sometimes, you know, I wish people had more faith in God as they do in some of those, things that have GPS tools. You know what I mean? More people trust GPS more than they trust God. You know, we need to understand that God is greater than GPS. And the Bible says that without faith, we cannot please Him. Now, as I mentioned, we all have a measure of faith. It says so in Romans chapter 12. God has given you some measure of faith, and that faith is there for you to be able to carry out the task that He's called you to do. But also, Scripture talks that we can grow in our faith. Our faith can be better established. It can be refined. And we can start to be able to tap in and be able to flow with Him and the things that He has for our life. Now, I don't know about you, but we'd all probably like to say we'd like to be pleasing to our Father. I don't know what your earthly father relationship was like. And sometimes we like to try to please our earthly father. We like to go and do things. We like to make sure if we hit the ball, sometimes when you're a little kid, instead of running to first base, you look over and see if dad's watching. You know, run. You know, come on. You know? But we want that acceptance. And the Bible says here a common theme that, you know, without faith we can't please Him because, you know, I think deep down inside, we all want to hear that attaboy or attagirl. Good job. Way to go. And we're looking for that in our life. And some of the reasons why we don't get it or we don't understand it is probably there is the fact that we have self-image issues. And those self-image issues, I believe, are usually God issues. And it deals with acceptance. I'll be honest, people. If we could get the revelation that God accepts us, don't take this personally. I don't really care what you think about me. Because I know what He thinks about me. Now, I do kind of prefer that you like me. But I don't need that validation in my life anymore. I'm not looking for that validation from people anymore. Because my validation comes from my Father. And my Father says, you know, I accept you. You are my son. You are my child. You are my family. And with that, it brings a lot of security, and them self-image issues kind of go away. Granted, we still have to unravel some of those things, them old past hurts to a degree. But, you know, as we do that, you know, we start to get the victory. And what helps is when we get that God image, or what's our image of God in our relationship with Him? You know, is God a loving, caring Heavenly Father? Do we want to really seek after Him? I know for a fact that sometimes we go through cycles in our life. You know, maybe we're seeking hard after God, and we're like that old coon dog, just you've hit that track and you believe God's leading you this way and you're following Him with all your heart, and all of a sudden you get to the, oh man, dead end? What? Dead end? Man, I thought I was falling after you, God. So inside, you feel like you're pulling back. And you find out that's affected you sometimes, because maybe we had a preconceived idea or something in there that's causing us to look at it wrong, to misunderstand the situation or the circumstance, and we need to get that straightened out, because as we go through the process and in building up our faith, we need to understand that God really does care. And we need to see ourselves as we measure up instead of falling short. A lot of times we get to the way that maybe we've hit that dead end, or maybe things didn't turn out the way that we wanted, and we feel like we've fallen short. Maybe we feel like we failed our Father. And instead of running to Him, we do an Adam and Eve. And we go and hide from Him. And we pull back. And that's normal, people. I'm just telling you. I go through this. These are things that we as believers have to battle through. Because we're all going to be disappointed from time to time. Things don't work out all the time the way that we want. Are we going to quit? Are we going to run? Are we going to draw that line in the sand and say, God, I missed this. I don't understand, but I'm pressing on. I'm seeking after you harder. I'm going after you with all I got. Sometimes, you know, as we go through this acceptance issue and all that, you know, I remember, you know, sometimes you feel like an oddball. You know, have you ever felt like an oddball? I mean, you go to a place and, ooh, is it me or is it just them? You know, who's the different one here? You know, sometimes you feel like a Hawkeye at a Cyclone rally, don't you? You know, you just don't connect, man. And that's how you feel. When I first started going to church, I felt like this. I went there and I knew I wanted to be there. But when I went there, I knew I wasn't quite the same as them. I felt different. And it was the devil lying to me. I know it was, you know, trying to get me to pull back because, I was just very, you know, self-conscious about myself being in a church. Because I'll be honest, I was scared. I was scared I was going to cuss or say something unspiritual or something, you know. So I stuck with the one-word answers. Yep, nope, and maybe. That was my three words I would say. You know, yep, nope, and maybe. And that just carried me for months. You know, and soon as they said amen, I said, oh my, I'm out of here. And I just boogied out the door. I mean, they couldn't catch me for nothing. But over a process of time, you know, my faith started to grow. I started to get a little more sure in my walk. And that only happens by one thing. The Bible says in Romans 10, chapter 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So unbeknownst to me, by me sitting there through that process, my faith was growing. I didn't know it. I was just naive, just a starter Christian, you know. Just kind of checking things out, knew that I was hungry for God. I just knew that no matter how late I was out on Saturday night, you couldn't keep me away from there on Sunday, man. Because I knew there was something there I needed. And over that process of time, my faith started to grow. And when that happened, then a lot of things started to come into clarity for me, that it wasn't blurry so much anymore. And this faith comes by hearing. We know that this scripture is kind of talking about the start of getting saved, you know, how they hear without a preacher. So a preacher goes out and preaches the message, and, you know, and then people accept Jesus Christ and give their life to him. But, you know, also I believe this is talking about, as it worked for me, not just to get saved, but it helped me to grow my faith so things come, I could understand things and I could start to piece things together and understanding just what God wanted for my life. You know, there's something about the spoken word. You know, words, you know, are containers. They carry things. They carry a message. You know, whatever that message may be. Now, God, he created the heavens and earth with a spoken word. He said, let there be, and there was. And so we can understand the idea how important words are and how we need to do it. And I believe that God is still speaking the word in our lives and is creating our worlds. And we won't go into that today. We may go into that more. But the idea of how the words that we speak can affect the world that we live in. You know, we can start to change maybe our situation or our circumstances, because I believe that when we utilize our faith, two things happen. Number one, there's connection and there's release. You know, connection we understand, because at faith, you know, we connect with God. We grab a hold of God because it's God's power. It's God's principles. And we grab a hold of God with all our might and we hang on. But also, faith is a thing that we release. We release our faith, because faith is meant not just to be hidden inside of us, but it's meant to be spoken out. It's meant to be revealed to the world, to a lost and dying world. And that's where we need to get, because as well as connecting, we release it. And we speak to that problem in our life. You know, everybody has a mountain. We all have mountains. The lie of the devil is that you are the only one that has a problem. But that's a lie. Everybody has problems. You know, I was just at this leadership conference a couple weeks ago. And it was just amazing hearing the testimony of many of the leaders and things that they've had to deal with in their life. You think, oh man, they're on TV. They must have it all together. You know, everything must just be, you know, I bet the angels come down, help them get dressed every day, pick out their outfits. You know, and Jesus has a meeting with them at 9 o'clock, you know, and they just have a talk. And man, I'll tell you what, just hearing the testimonies of things that they've had to go through, and, you know, different things that they've dealt with. And we're talking leaders in the kingdom of God. If I threw their names out, you'd say, oh, wow. Everybody has mountains, things that we deal with. Thing is, what are you going to do with that mountain? Is that mountain going to stop you? Or are you going to speak to that mountain as Jesus said, and mountain, you be gone in the name of Jesus? And as we start to see how faith is supposed to be released, because, you know, I believe life has, it's full of choices. Everywhere we go, it's full of choices. And I believe people, we need to pick a side. We need to pick a side. What side are we going to line up with? You know, are we going to choose to say what God says about the situation? Are we going to line our mouth up with what God says? Or are we going to choose to say what human nature says about the situation? I'm just a realist. I just call them how I see them. Huh, really? You'll never succeed. Never. Because faith isn't calling them how you see them. Faith is calling them how you want them to be. Faith says it's calling things that aren't as though they are. And we have to get to that revelation in our hearts and mind so that we're willing to pay that price. I believe I'm a word preacher. I believe in the word. The word of God changed my life. And I believe the word of God can change our situation and circumstances. We just have to hang on and hold on and keep on trucking for God. And it's important that we get that revelation, so that we can see that all things are possible to him that believes. Now, as we understand the idea of that connection, as you and I grab a hold of God and hold on to him, I want to talk a little bit about the release part. Faith needs to be released. You know, we release our faith when we speak it. That's one way. You know, and it's a situation, you know, that we have to learn. It's a, in the sense of how we start to apply our faith. how we start to walk in it. Now, it's going to seem weird at first. Because, and people may think you're weird. Now, I don't think we need to go out and just start, you know, speaking words of faith out in a bunch of unbelievers, and they're going to think you're crazy or something. You know, you don't have to do it that way to draw attention to self. I mean, there's ways you can speak the word to them and be able to speak things. Now, there's time God may have you do it, but the goal is not to draw attention to self. The goal is to draw attention to God, isn't it? See, that's the key. So it's a motive issue, perhaps. And also, we release our faith with our lifestyle. Now, I personally believe, and I think God, you know, I'm good company because I believe God revealed this in His Word to us, is the fact that there comes a time in our walk when our speaking and our lifestyle has to line up. Those two have to be together. And what we say needs to line up with what we do. Now, when I was a kid, you know, I don't know if Mom and Dad were kidding, but they probably weren't. Do as I say, not as I do. That's just the way it was back then. Do as I say, not as I do. I had to honor what they said, even if they weren't doing what they said they were. I was supposed to do. I didn't do that either. I'll be honest, I was a little rebellious little child. You know, for the most part. Some things I did listen to them about. Some things I didn't. But I do know that what, as a Christian, what we say and what we do need to line up. They need to be congruent with each other, in line with each other, so then we're walking in our full potential. Now, faith, as we're trying to do this, because it is, it's going to take some trial and error, as we step out in that unknown territory, that uncharted territory, kind of like Peter hopping out of that boat. You know, hadn't been done before. You know, we're doing some new things. And as you, and that faith walk, you know, it's exciting with God, but there's going to be that process where our faith is refined, because I believe faith needs to be tested to reveal what it's really like. Now, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, "But this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you may have been distressed by various trials." Now, I don't know, you could stop right there and get mad. God says, be happy that you're going through a trial. That don't sound fair, does it? Who would want to follow a God like that if he just stopped right there? But then he goes on to explain, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, there's what the real thing is. The purpose of trials. You know, them mountains that come into our life. You know, everybody goes through them. And like I mentioned, the devil will lie to you and say you're the only one with that problem, that you're the only Christian that's made a mistake and maybe done something bad or, you know, fallen from grace, whatever the case may be, but that's not true. You know, trials, to some degree, in a large degree, they're good because they refine our faith. Now, faith needs to be refined. I always believe that faith hasn't been tested isn't really faith yet. You can't put it over in the faith category, you know, to some degree, because you have to be tested. It has to be refined. It has to be purified to see if we're going to, in the face of opposition, stand true to what we say and what we believe. Now, as we do that, when we start to get the victory, because, you know, it says here that the proof, the word proof there is genuineness. Now, our faith needs to be genuine. And just to say that you have faith, you know, God gives us a measure of faith, I believe, and then as faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, you got faith to get saved, that'll get you in the door. I'm talking about faith to live by now. You know, it takes it to the next step or next level to some degree. To be able to go through that process and to be able to go through the minefield of life, to be able to hold on to your spiritual sanity, shall we say, as we're going through all these obstacles, all these things that we have to do, all these challenges. And as we hold on to God and hold on to what the Word says, because, you know, what the Word says about the situation may be different than what natural human thinking may think about that situation. So as we're holding on to that, that's when the refining process starts to take hold. Now, you know, it says here that if you know, I just wonder, because it says it's more precious than gold. If I could stand up here, and I don't have this, have it on me right now, at least half of it. I got the one half. If I put a pile of gold right here, and I put a pile of faith, which pile would you choose? Pile of gold. I mean, a big pile. I'm not talking little pile. I'm talking a pile. You know, big pile. Big pile of gold right there. Or a pile of faith. What would we choose? Which is more important? Hopefully, you know the answer, right? We're in church, so it's got to be the faith, right? Yeah. No-brainer. Yeah. We're going to pick that one. To be honest, if you have the faith, you can get the gold. Amen? Get it all. No. So more precious. But see, it's not really about having possessions. It's really about who possesses us. And the idea of being able to come to God, because we want that kind of faith that pleases God, because if you know that you're walking congruent with your God, you and your God are heading the same way, you're not living a life in opposition, you know, like in rebellion to God. If we're living a life that is congruent with Him and walking with Him, you know that you're pleasing Him, and how's that going to affect you? I'm pleasing my Father. Well, that's going to make you perk up a little bit. Bless God. I'm walking with my Father. A little more spring in your step. You're standing a little taller right now. You're starting to see those victories start to accumulate. And you're starting to see the manifestation of God's Spirit and His leading in our life. And because when we know that we're pleasing to God, it's going to affect our life. It's going to affect us. Because it just puts us in that realm that we know that we know that we know. So how do we apply some of these principles about the importance of faith? Number one, we need to open up to God's Word. Let it speak to our life. Can't stress this enough. It's so simple, but yet it's one of the hardest things that you and I will ever do. Because we can say yes and amen, but when we go out there, we say nope. Can't do that. Too hard. But grace, all things are possible, amen. God will bring it, gives you grace to be able to do it. So we need to first open up to the Word. Let it speak to our life. Maybe you're struggling in a certain area and you haven't surrendered that to Christ yet. I challenge you to surrender that. Lay it at His feet. Say, I give this to You, Lord. I don't want it. I want to walk in Your victory. I want to walk in dominion with You. See, dominion is a word that needs to be on our business card, man. We walk in dominion with God. We have authority over these things. We don't have to bow our knee to all these temptations and trials, but we can walk in victory. Secondly, once you get the Word in your life, we need to release what you know. This is phase two or step two. We need to understand how we really grow. You can only suck in so much air till you got to put it out, right? You can only take in so much Word until you're going to have to start to utilize what you have. That's a key. I'll tell you what, it's just how it works. I've lived this, I've watched this, I've stumbled in this, I've gotten back up again, but you got to use it. You got to use what you have. When God reveals it to you, then we need to utilize it, and we start to release our faith. We release it, two basic ones, evangelism and discipleship. God saved you. Don't you think He can save your friends? Hallelujah. Think about it. God saved you. So, granted, we can't put Jesus on our finger and cram Him down their throats. I understand that concept. Been there, did that, don't work. But there is things that we can do to be able to be a better witness and also to disciple, somebody and to lead them, into the thing. Now, maybe adults scare you. They scare you. You don't really feel comfortable talking to adults about your faith. Well, just so happens you're in luck. There's an opportunity here at church to teach kids. I mean, you shouldn't be intimidated by these little critters like this, man. You're bigger than they are. You've already graduated high school. They haven't. You're smarter than them. Right? So, you think,
I started out, I mean, you've heard my testimony, some of you probably get tired of it. I wasn't ready for adults when I first got saved. I started teaching three-year-olds. I started really small. They could speak English, but yet they didn't know enough to know more than I did, you know? And I taught them for a while. And I was in my 20s. You know, and that's just how God did it with me. And I would go in there and I would teach these little kids and share what I knew. I didn't know a lot. I'd only been saved less than a year. But I hopped right in. And I learned something very valuable. As you put out, God will multiply it back to you. And I started to grow. But if I wouldn't have stepped out, I don't know. Don't know what would have happened. But I was able to utilize what little I knew, and then God gave me more as we continually put it out. So, like I say, you can become a teacher here, working with kids, you know, all these things, you know. I believe involvement brings stability, and stability brings growth. You know, when we're more connected, we have that secure foundation, and we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we're committed to something. Not all about you, but you know, I think a lot of you people like to have one of these, right? In a relationship, a ring, a symbol of commitment. You know, that means somebody just can't, you know, just wake up one day and say, what the heck, I'm out of here. It takes a little more of a dissolution of that situation, doesn't it, when you get one of these? There's a bigger process. So, you don't get these unless you're ready to be committed, but once you are committed, I believe it helps. And see, that's what helps is when we're more committed to Christ, as we're more committed to our local church, and we're starting to be involved, then God starts to see that process grow. Now, lastly, know that the tests are going to come, and that's okay. Used to be that sometimes when you're tested, sometimes you get in the mindset of thinking, oh man, I must have done something wrong, you know? I must have really sinned here. I must have really messed up because, man, I'm getting attacked. I must open the door for the devil somewhere. That is a possibility. I'm not going to lie to you. Amen? That's just that. Sometimes we do stupid stuff, and stupid stuff means stuff happens. But a lot of times, that's not the case. Because tests are not necessarily that we messed up with God. Tests can also mean that we've been messing with the devil. Now, that ought to make you feel good. You know, the devil's kingdom. He don't like it when we make a stand. When we're trying to pull people out of the fire and get them back up into the place where it's safe. So to me, tests, all they are is an opportunity to show where we're at in our journey of faith. You know, in Bible school, we always said that, you know, tests are opportunity sheets to show how much you know or how much you don't know. But that's okay, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? It's okay to feel conviction, but never feel condemnation. Condemnation comes from the devil, and conviction, that'll come through the Holy Spirit. So with this process of faith, know that it's something that we have to go after, we have to seek after, and we need to elevate the level of the Word in our life. And as we elevate God's Word in our life, and it becomes our final authority, we're going to start to walk in that greater level of victory. Let's pray.